Across Southeast, people are running into the wall Imogen is about to describe. Imogen is fictional. The wall is not. This is their story. In Reading Central, healthcare workers who could fill desperately needed nursing positions find themselves blocked from the training that would qualify them for the roles hospitals are struggling to fill. Imogen watched empty lecture halls and unused simulation labs while being told there was no money to train the nurses her own workplace needed.
My grandmother spent her final months in the oncology ward at Royal Berkshire Hospital. The nurses there were extraordinary, patient, skilled, present, in a way that made the hardest days bearable. Watching them work, I knew that was what I wanted to do with my life. My mum taught primary school in Reading, and my dad worked in council housing, so I understood public service, but nursing felt like something more immediate. You could see the difference you made in someone's day, in their recovery, in their family's peace of mind. I studied biomedical sciences at Reading University, thinking it would give me a strong foundation for nursing. After graduation, I took a job as a healthcare assistant at the Royal Berkshire NHS Foundation Trust, while I saved money and applied for nursing training. The work was demanding, but I loved it. I was already helping patients, already part of the team, but I wanted the qualification that would let me take on more responsibility, make more of a difference. In 2019, I applied to the University of West London nursing programme. I had the grades, the experience, the references, the university accepted me. Then I got the letter from Health Education England. We regret to inform you that there are no funded places available for this academic year due to Treasury spending limits. Just like that. No explanation of what these limits were, or why they applied to something as essential as training nurses. The ward managers at Royal Berkshire were pulling double shifts, agency staff were costing a fortune, and patient care was suffering. I asked my supervisor why they couldn't just hire more nurses. She laughed, but not because it was funny. "We can't hire what doesn't exist," she said. "We're crying out for qualified nurses. The applications are there, the training places are there, but Health Education England says there's no budget." I applied again in 2020. Same result, same letter. "There is no funding for additional nursing places this year." I was starting to feel like I was banging my head against a wall. I picked up extra shifts, saved every penny, thinking maybe if I could prove I was serious, if I could demonstrate my commitment, something would change. Then, in 2021, I was talking to a friend who worked in administration at the University of West London. She mentioned, almost in passing, that they had 40 unfilled nursing places that year. 40. The lecture halls were sitting empty. The simulation labs with their hospital standard equipment were gathering dust. Qualified tutors were being made redundant because there weren't enough students to teach. I drove past that campus every morning on my way to work at Royal Berkshire. The buildings were there. The equipment was there. The tutors, at least the ones who hadn't been laid off, were there. And I was there, along with dozens of others, ready to learn, ready to work, ready to fill the gaps that everyone said were desperate problems. I went back to Health Education England, armed with this information. Surely, if they knew the training places were sitting empty while wards were understaffed, they could make an exception. The response was polite but firm. "Budget allocations are set by HM Treasury. We cannot exceed our allocated funding envelope." That was when I started to understand that something was fundamentally wrong with this picture. The government that issues pound notes was telling me it couldn't find enough pound notes to connect people who wanted to be nurses with the training that would make them nurses. The money they said didn't exist was the same money they printed. The budget they said was fixed was set by the same people who could change it. I kept working as a healthcare assistant, but I started paying attention differently. Every empty training place was a political choice. Every understaffed ward was a political choice. Every time someone said, "There's no money," they were really saying, "We choose not to spend money on this." The resources were all there. The people, the buildings, the equipment, the need. What was missing wasn't money. Money is just numbers on a computer screen when you're the government that controls the computer. What was missing was the political will to connect the resources that existed with the people who needed them. I still drive past that university campus. Some of those lecture halls are being used for other things now. Some are still empty. I'm still working as a healthcare assistant, still picking up extra shifts on understaffed wards, still watching nurses burn out because there aren't enough of us to do the work properly. But I understand something now that I didn't understand when I first applied. When Health Education England said, "There is no funding," they weren't describing a fact about the physical universe. They were explaining a political decision made in Whitehall. The UK government issues the pound. It doesn't need to find pounds before it spends them. It needs to find people, skills, and materials before it spends them. And in Reading Central, in the southeast, across the country, those people and skills and materials are sitting right there, waiting. The real question was never whether the government could afford to train nurses. The real question was whether it wanted to. Every empty training place, every understaffed ward, every qualified teacher made redundant while people who want to learn are turned away. These aren't inevitable facts. They're choices. And choices can be changed. I know now that my story isn't unique to Reading Central or to nursing or to me. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare. The cupboard isn't bare. The key is in their hand. They're choosing not to use it.
What Imogen experienced has a name: impossible expectations. Consider how this works in other contexts. Tobacco companies once demanded absolute proof that smoking caused cancer before accepting any regulation. Not strong evidence, not compelling studies, but impossible certainty about every single case. They knew this standard could never be met, which was the point. Health Education England applied the same technique to nursing training. They demanded a guarantee of zero waste, perfect outcomes and flawless efficiency before committing funds to additional training places. This standard was never applied to bank bailouts or tax cuts for high earners, which proceeded without such guarantees. The Treasury treated every pound spent on nursing education as though it might be wasted, while treating every pound not spent as automatically efficient. The austerity objection was always, the NHS is a bottomless pit. We cannot keep throwing money at it. This sets an impossible standard where no amount of evidence of need is ever sufficient. No service is bottomless. NHS costs are measurable. The UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. The UK government issues its own currency. The real constraint is resources: qualified tutors, training facilities, motivated students. Imogen found all three sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Reading Central ranks 301 out of 543 English constituencies on deprivation measures, placing it in the sixth decile. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 838 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Local organisations received £5.1 million in grants, tracked by 360 Giving Grant Navi. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.